You have on your seats a card, an invite card, that is for this is actually not for you, believe it or not. This is for you to give to somebody else. But we also recognize that many times the way we invite people is not always with paper and ink anymore, right? Sometimes it's through a digital invite. And so we're going to have invitation videos just like what you just saw through our socials and our website, all those kinds of things, so that you can actually invite people to come and be a part of Resurrection Sunday, that they can come and hear about the hope that they can have in Jesus. And so I just need you to know, like there are a lot of congregations that will put a ton of money into like Facebook ads and into Google ads and all this kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with any of that. We just don't do that. You are our invite strategy. If you don't invite people, they ain't coming. I'm just letting you know. Like, there's not another way that it's happening. And so these cards are yours. We're going to come back and revisit those later on in the service here. But be looking for those links that you can send to others to invite them to be a part of what God is doing here with HFC. All right, so I want you to imagine with me that you are driving down a road in Houston. Now, I know that right away, as soon as I say that, there are some feelings that come about, right? I get it. Imagine you are driving down a road, and you see sort of up ahead of you that there's somebody who is driving erratically, right? They're just all over the place, changing lanes, going crazy, super fast, cutting across people, all kinds of, like, they are just driving nuts, right? And they are continuing to drive this kind of crazy until you actually come to catch up with them, right? And then as you kind of, as you are going to pass them, they cut you off. Get right in front of you. Oh, you're feeling it already, aren't you? You're feeling that already. And it is not until that moment that they decide that slow is the way to go, right? And so now that they are right in front of you, they decide, okay, now they're going to slow down as much as possible, if for no other reason, just to annoy you, right? Maybe you've experienced this already. Maybe this isn't much to imagine. Maybe this is just something to remember that you had happen just earlier this week, right? Right? But because they slowed down, that does give you an opportunity to now get around them, except that as you go to pass, now they use this opportunity to then speed up again, right? That's how it works. Yet this time, as you're now side by side and contemplating how it is that you might respond to them now that you are in a place where you can have eye contact with them, right? Help us, Lord, right? You notice something peculiar in the car. You notice that the driver doesn't actually have his hands on the wheel. What you notice instead is that the passenger in the front seat actually is the one who's reaching over, and he's the one who's got his hand on the wheel. Oh, no. He's the reason why the car is going all over the place and everything, right? And you look at that, and as confusing as that might happen to be, you might even just begin to wonder, like, what in the world is going on in this car? Like, what is this guy doing? Why is he letting somebody else, like, put his hand on the wheel like that, right? As you look a little more into it, you look in the back seat, and you notice that there is another person in the back seat, and this gentleman actually has a gun pointed at the driver. Well, now you feel a whole lot different about this situation, don't you? Now it's no longer like, why in the world did this person do this to me? Now it's a rescue mission, right? Now you have all kinds of decisions that you need to make right in this moment. And part of it is like, okay, do I need to call the police and get them involved? Do I need to follow this person wherever they're going so that I make sure they get there safe? Or if they get in some sort of accident, at least I can call 911. Like, do I need to just say, you know what? They should have never let them people in their car anyway. And just go on, drive off, and just let them do whatever they're going to do? See, in that moment, we have all kinds of decisions that we have to make. A moment ago, we were taking things very personally, as if the driver were trying to ruin our lives. But now we see that there's something more going on. Well, today what I want to do is I want to look into the something more that is going on in our lives. See, because I actually believe that there are people all around us that find themselves in a very similar situation. That they are technically behind the wheel of their lives, if you will. But there are other factors that actually have their hands on the wheel. There are other factors that are controlling what they do that are in the back seat. And many times we don't always see that from a distance, right? We don't always see what's going on to impact some of those things. And so we think that what we need to do is give them a piece of our mind because they're ruining our day. When the reality is, we need to be on a rescue mission. And so what I want to do today is I want to look into what more is going on. And how can we be involved in the rescue mission that's actually necessary for people around us? Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us to hear from you today. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words, Father, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that you would just encourage us and empower us to say yes to you, God. Give us the courage to say yes to you today. Lord, we need you, God. We thank you that you are trustworthy. And we ask, God, that you would help us to trust you even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to read for you out of Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. It says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. And if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them." By the way, this is Jesus talking. And I could just imagine, like, the audience that Jesus is speaking to, like, well, but Jesus, like, these people are my enemies for a reason. Like, they've done me wrong. They've taken money from me. They've hurt my family. They've hurt me. Like they are my enemies for a reason. Why in the world, Jesus, would you tell me to love my enemies? Why in the world would you tell me to do good to those who hate me? Why would you tell me to pray for those who persecute me? Why in the world would you tell me that if somebody hits me, I should let them hit me again? That doesn't sound like being empowered by a savior. That sounds like being pummeled like a doormat. Why, Jesus, would you tell me to love people who obviously do not love me? See, I think what Jesus is trying to show us is that there's something else going on here. There's something else going on here. There are other things at work here. There are other influences here in our enemies. Our enemies have some other people that have their hands on the wheel. Our enemies have some people in the back seat. And so we can look at them and see what they're doing to us. We see how they cut off our lives and interrupt us, right? Maybe they even get in a wreck with us and cause us damage and cost us money. But the reality is, like, when we look a little bit deeper, I think Jesus is showing here that there's something more going on. Yes. There are other influences at work here. And maybe it's not so much about us as it is about the fact that we need to be on a rescue mission. We don't need to look at our enemies as someone to defeat, but rather we need to look at our enemies as someone who needs rescued. See, rescue requires love. Rescue requires doing good. Rescue requires blessing and prayer and patience and compassion and all of those things that Jesus told us to do for our enemies. That's what rescue requires. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Amen. See, I actually think that so many times in the lives of people around us, the flesh is actually that passenger in the front seat there, in that passenger seat that actually has their hand on the wheel. See, the flesh is the one that's reaching over and grabbing the wheel and taking control of what's happening in our lives. And too many times, we've got the Holy Spirit locked in the trunk because we don't understand how the Holy Spirit works. We're kind of scared of the Holy Spirit. We don't really know if we want him to do anything in our lives because when we saw other people submit to the Holy Spirit, it looked kind of weird, and we didn't really know if we wanted that in our lives. So instead of dealing with God's Holy Spirit, we locked him in the trunk, and we invited the flesh to sit up in the front seat, and then we wonder why our life is going all over the place. See, there are people all around us that don't even know the Holy Spirit is locked in the trunk. They don't even know there's a Holy Spirit that they can submit control to, that can actually save their lives and help them to live and be in their lane, if you will, right? So many people don't even know it's there. And all the while, the flesh is just taking over, just whipping that life, that car, all over the place. And it becomes so chaotic, so chaotic. See, it's very easy to see who has control of the wheel based on the fruit that's being produced by the life. And when you see a life that is producing things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, when you see those things, you know, okay, like that's a life that's controlled by God's Holy Spirit. Like they found a way to get that dude out the trunk and put him up in the driver's seat. Like that you can tell, like, even in the midst of stress, like there are some good fruit that's being produced in that person's life. But you can also tell whose flesh is in control by the fruit that they are producing too. And many times it comes out in frustration and anger and malice and by selfishness, right? And it's that flesh just trying to do whatever it can to do whatever it is that it wants to do. See, we have many times, or people around us have that Holy Spirit locked up in the trunk, and they don't know what to do with them. They don't know how to get them out. They don't know that there is another way. And so we need to let God's Holy Spirit, we need to help them let God's Holy Spirit out of the trunk. We need to walk alongside some people to let them know that there is another way. We need to actually, like, walk them through how to access all that God has for them. We gotta help them, like, bring the Holy Spirit around and open that driver's side door and let them sit in there. And then we gotta help them get in the back seat and make sure the flesh don't act a fool all the time, right? Like, we've got to, as children of God, as part of the church of the living God, we gotta come alongside people whose flesh is in control, and we gotta show them there's another way to live life, and it doesn't have to lead to the mess that you have right now. Like, you can see good fruit produced in your life. You can. Amen. We can. They can. Yes. But they're not going to find it accidentally. They're not just going to pop the trunk open and, oh, there's Holy Spirit, right? Like, somebody's got to show them the way. Yes. And see, what we got to be careful of is, like, sometimes, here's what happens, if we're being honest. Like, we'll see somebody in our life that's going through a hard time, and we'll say something like, man, you just need Jesus. You need Jesus. That's not a false statement, by the way. That is really, really true. It's just not helpful, right? Because what they're experiencing is a car going out of control. They're experiencing a life going across lanes that does not fit within the laws of this world, or of the kingdom, right? And so what they're feeling is fear. What they're feeling is chaos. And then we as a church, with all of the best intentions, come in and we say something like, you need Jesus, which is true. It's just not helpful. It doesn't bring control to the car. It doesn't bring control to their life. It doesn't help them actually get where they want to be. So as a disciple maker, then, we have to help people work backwards. We have to help them see that there is another way to live, that there is good fruit that can be produced in their lives. Not because they're good people, but because that God's Holy Spirit is inside of them, right? We have to help them see that there is another way. And we have to help them see that we actually need God's Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can't do this on our own, that we actually need Him to guide us and direct us. And so then we have to let them know, okay, well, first things first, we got to pull this car over and we got to open the trunk. They're not going to know why we need to open the trunk or why we need to pull the car over, but we got to help walk them into that, right? And then we got to recognize that, you know what? We can't just open the trunk of God's Holy Spirit into our lives just all by ourselves. Like, Jesus has to be involved. He's the only one who has the key to the trunk. And so then we got to help them see, like, yes, there is another way. God's Holy Spirit is another way. The way we get to God's Holy Spirit is through a relationship with Jesus. See, the reality is we need Jesus. We need Him to unlock the trunk. We need Him to help us get access to God's Holy Spirit. We need Him to show us that there's another way to live our life. But if all we say is, you need Jesus, that sounds like an attack and not very helpful. All right? But if we can be disciple makers, right? If we can be people that have experienced the flesh in our own lives and been able to be set free from some of that, like if we can show them, like, hey, no, I've been here. This is what I did. This is what you can do too. Like, it makes such a difference for people around us, right? Man, we come then to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read for you verses 10 through 12. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, against of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. See, the devil is the dude in the back seat with the gun.
That's right.
The devil is scheming his way into the lives of people around us.
Yes.
The devil is finding ways to come in and hold us hostage.
Yes.
The devil is finding ways to come in and lean on every insecurity. The devil will fill us with lies, with lies that we think are true, but we can't see exactly. So we just kind of go with it because, well, what else should we do? And so he'll bring attack on us, and he'll lie to us, and he'll lead us into things that we would never do otherwise. See, the devil's a schemer. But see, church, we know something that others don't know. And that is that the devil's gun doesn't have any bullets left. See, we know something people in those cars don't know. We know something that people in those lives don't know. Like, that they think the dude in the back seat who's holding a gun, like, actually has something against him. And what they don't realize is that Jesus already took the bullets out the gun on the cross. Like, they don't realize he's all talk and he got nothing to do. Like, he's got no power. See, they are being controlled by their past insecurities that he keeps bringing up. They are controlled by his lies that he keeps bringing up. They're controlled by his attacks that he keeps bringing up. They don't know he doesn't have any power. He can't actually do anything. So somebody's got to come in and let them know, like, hey, the dude in the back is a fake and you can pull this thing over anytime you want to. You can take back control anytime you want to. Not because you are so great, but because Jesus already took care of it on the cross. First John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. Watch this now. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
Like we got to realize that for people who are fighting these spiritual battles all around us, like they feel like they're being held hostage by a dude who's basically doing this.
That's
right. And it's not real.
Right.
He's got nothing against us.
Right.
There's nothing that he can do except make us scared. That he might do something. That something wrong might happen. It's a lie to us about what will or could happen. Like his only weapon is our fear. See, it's a rescue mission that we're on here, church. And we've got to make sure that we don't wreck the car in our pursuit to take down the devil, right? Let me make sure I'm saying this right. We got to make sure that as we see, because we know who's in the backseat. We know who he is, and we know what he can do. We know what he can't do, right? But the person in the driver's seat don't know that. The person in the driver's seat, it's really real that the dude in the back has a gun, and their life is on the line. And so if we just go in there saying things like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, they're going to think we're crazy because they feel like it's real. We've got to make sure that as we are interceding for people who are in troubling situations, there we go, help me, Lord, that we don't wreck their life trying to lead them to Jesus, right? Because sometimes we'll see the dude in the gun and we're just like, we'll save him, right? Everybody dies and it's like, well, we got the devil, but you lost the driver. And then the devil's schemes work even that much more, because now people hate the church because of the way we went about trying to save them, right? Like, we just need to realize, like, this is real. How we do what we do is really, really important. That's why we talk about being disciples that make disciples. Because we can't just go about it any old way we want. We got to make sure that we're going after people with the truth of Jesus Christ in a way that's actually going to save their lives and bring truth and mercy to all of them. It's a rescue mission. It's not just a mission to take out the devil. It's a mission to rescue people that are being victimized by an enemy. Amen. See, the big problem is, though, sometimes we aren't always driving our own car. See, sometimes, even though we are people who have heard the good news of Jesus, sometimes we're the ones that when other people are in their flesh and controlled by a devil that is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy their lives, those things happen, and unfortunately, many times we let the flesh take our wheel. We let the devil like hold up his fake gun behind us, like we're a hostage to him. Sometimes we throw the Holy Spirit in the trunk ourselves, knowing what the Holy Spirit can do. We're just like, we ain't got time for this today, Holy Spirit. We got to get some things done, and we can't get things done if you're up here trying to drive. You take too long, right? It's real, right?
Yes, it is.
See, this is how the devil works. We got all these people around us, and it's so easy. Whew, man alive. It's so easy to look out there and be like, oh, man, their lives are terrible, right? Man, I can't believe how crazy their lives are, you know, all over the place. I can't believe that they're, can't believe they actually believe what the devil's trying to do in their lives. Can't they see those people anyway? And then we interact with those people and we become just like them. This isn't my way of beating up on you. This is just my way of saying that we need to make sure that we are rightly submitted to God.
Yes.
We can't be so focused on what the world is doing wrong that we lose sight of the fact that we're not even holding on to our own steering wheel. And the reality is, like it's not even best for us to hold our own steering wheel. The best thing we can hope for is that God's Holy Spirit would actually be the one in control, that we would only submit control of our lives to him. And so however long it takes to rescue somebody, Holy Spirit, have your way. However long it takes to get where I need to be in my life, Holy Spirit, have your way. Somebody cuts you off, well, Holy Spirit, have your way. If somebody wrecks your car, Holy Spirit, have your way. Jesus said, love your enemies. That sounds like a car wreck just waiting to happen. Holy Spirit, have your way. You see, like, we shouldn't have control of our lives. We can't let the flesh have control of our lives, because that's only going to lead to destruction. We can't let the devil have control of our lives, because the only goal he has is to destroy us. We have to make sure that God's Holy Spirit is in control of our lives if we have any chance of taking a real gospel into the world, that it might change theirs.
Amen.
So what does this look like in real life? I'll give you some examples here. We'll try to make it simple. See, because sometimes there are just things that sort of pop up, right? So maybe you're at dinner or something like that, and maybe you knock over your drink at dinner, and your parent loses their mind on you, right? I can't believe you did that, wine, Roy. You're gonna knock that over like I can. That ain't God's Holy Spirit, right? So then, what do you do when your parent is actually not responding out of God's Holy Spirit, but actually responding out of their flesh? What do you do when you ask your kid about homework and they come back with, I don't have any homework, right? Maybe you've never seen that. It's okay. It's just me. Or it's like, hey, I need you to help with the dishes. Ugh, why? Not the dishes. Ugh, I hate the dishes. The dishes are terrible. Right? See, because it's really easy. I'm just testifying for myself. It's really easy for me to let the flesh take control of the wheel. And he whips me over to that kid faster than anything, right? And before I know it, I'm right there, and we about to go to blows over dishes and homework. Because it's about more than just dishes and homework, right? It's about me being the authority here, and if I say something, you're going to do it. Right? You see how that flesh work? You see that flesh work? But see, it's worse. Ooh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It's worse. Because the real reason I snap so fast is because I'm afraid I'm not a very good dad. Mm-hmm. And that dude in the back seat just keeps, he just keeps pointing that gun at me. He just keeps pointing that gun at me. And I know it ain't got no bullets. And he just keeps pointing that thing at me, and I just leave him in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And then I wait for my kid to do something. And then I let his insecurities tell me how I'm going to drive my car. Right.
Yes.
How am I supposed to show my kids how to live in submission to God's Holy Spirit when my flesh is whipping my car everywhere and my insecurities are more in control than God's Holy Spirit is? Right? I mean, it happens all over at home. It happens, like, even among spouses, right? Money's short. Bills got to be paid, right? Somebody says just that one thing. Somebody says that one thing, right? Because spouses know how to say that one thing. Right? Thankfully, Beth's not in here, right? Good. And just like that, it's more than just that one thing now. Now everybody's flesh is going crazy, lives whipping all over the place. It don't take long for the devil to get in the back seat and just start pointing guns of lies and insecurities all over the place, right? See, the reality is this shows up everywhere. It shows up at work. Your boss says something that your boss shouldn't have said. But the reality is your boss is controlled by the flesh. And your boss is controlled by an enemy. And your boss says something that your boss shouldn't have said. And you can either submit to God's Holy Spirit in that and love your enemy. Or you can let the flesh take control. It happens with your siblings. It happens so much when I'm tired. Whew. Y'all don't even make me preach that sermon on how spiritual sleep is again, right? What I'm trying to say is, I don't really title sermons too much, but if I did, this one would probably be, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Like, most of the time, the people that appear to be wrecking your life, they're not even holding the wheel. Yeah. Their flesh is all over the place, and they're scared to death because the dude in the back is just all over every insecurity they have. Mm-hmm. And so we got to ask ourselves, at the Church of the Living God, like, how are we gonna interact with them?
Amen.
How are we gonna love them? How are we gonna submit to God's Holy Spirit in a way that could actually make a difference in their lives?
Yes.
Right? Because if we don't get it right, if we're not where we need to be,
yes,
how in the world are we going to be able to take the good news of Jesus to a lost and dying world that needs it just as bad as we have?
Amen.
Right? But there's good news today.
Yes, there is.
There is good news today. And that is that the flesh doesn't have to have control of your life. And the enemy doesn't have to, you don't have to live in fear of what the devil might do to you. Like, the good news is that Jesus has already paid it all, and God's Holy Spirit is able to show us another way. And if we would decide, you know what? I'm going to get out of the driver's seat, and I'm going to go get the Holy Spirit out of the trunk, because Jesus, I'm inviting him in to come unlock those things in my life. Like, if I would decide to let Jesus take control, then he's going to usher the Holy Spirit into the driver's seat. I'm going to sit in the back, and I'm going to make sure that stupid flesh don't act stupid, right? And then I'm going to open the back door, and I'm going to kick the devil out, right? And I'm going to let God's Holy Spirit direct me. But it happens when we make a decision to say, I'm not going to let control of my life go the way that it's been going. Today it stops.
Amen.
Today it stops.
Amen.
And that's the decision we have today. So the questions that I want you to really wrestle with is, first of all, just who's in control of your life? I mean, is it you? Are you in control? And is that good? Is your flesh reaching over and whipping things all over the place? Is the enemy just causing you to make all kinds of decisions based out of insecurities? And then secondly, how can you take back control from the flesh and from the devil? I mean, again, the simple answer is we need Jesus. But I know there's a lot of steps to get there sometimes. And I just want you to know, like, we're not a church that's just telling you to figure it out on your own. Like, we really want to walk with you in this. Like, we really want to meet you right where you are. Because we know, like, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it is possible. Well, I hope you heard that today. It's not easy, but it is possible.
Yes, it is.
See, the devil in the backseat will try to convince you it's not possible, that you can't get out of what you're already in. And I'm just telling you right now, the devil's a liar.
Yes, he is.
Last question then is what step can you take to move from reacting to rescuing? What step can you take as you're interacting with all these people in the world around you, and their lives whipping all over the place and cutting you off and all this kind of stuff? Like, what is a step you can take to move from reacting to what they're doing against you to actually being on a rescue mission with Jesus?
Amen.
Man, how awesome would that be?
Amen.
You want to talk about an awesome invite opportunity for an Easter worship service?
Yes.
How about just meet people where they are and show them that there's another way of doing life? Like, you can show up on Resurrection Sunday or New Year's Day for all I care. Like, the good news is the good news, and the people need it.
Yes, it is.
The people need it.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray, and Naomi's going to come and close out our time together. But I just want you to know, like you don't have to leave here feeling like your life is out of control.
Amen.
There are people here that want to pray with you. And there are people here that want to walk with you beyond today. Because it's not just about today. I mean, today's a big part. Like, you have to decide at some point, I don't want my life to be like this anymore. Like, you have to make that decision. But the reality is, you still got to live life. And we as a church want to live life with you and show you how to keep God's Holy Spirit in the driver's seat and out of the trunk.
Amen.
So the devil doesn't take control of your life anymore. That can happen for you today. And we're going to have people up here that'll pray with you after service. Like, don't leave until you get control of your life back. Don't leave until you submit that control to God, to Jesus, and to His Holy Spirit. Pray with me. God, I just thank you so much. for you're good and you're worthy. Lord God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you have surrounded us with people that need to be rescued. Lord, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see how we can impact people around us. Help us, Father, to see how we can submit to your Holy Spirit in such a way that your good fruit would be produced and that they would look to follow you. Because of your provision in their lives. God, help us to see the rescue mission in front of us. And help us to run after you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.